best place for below average stars.
Hello there, and welcome to The Star Wars Show, the best place for below-average Star Wars. I am the Geordie Jedi Pete, and this episode is a special one. We're going to be breaking down the brand new trailer for the brand new Star Wars video game, Star Wars Outlaws. And joining me to help me deep dive the trailer and talk about their thoughts and expectations for this awesome game is, of course, the absolutely fantastic Chris from Dystopian Simulation Radio. Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Peter. Thank you very much for having me back on the show. I'm really excited to be talking about this game, and I'm happy to have some more Star Wars games coming out.
Indeed, you know, I think about the history of Star Wars games. You know, it's got quite a rich history. And then, obviously, since the merger, we had sort of a dark time in games where, you know, EA Games had the sole distribution rights, and obviously, essentially made two Battlefront games, and that's it. We've seen sort of the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor games come out. And then, obviously, this one is coming from Ubisoft, Star Wars Outlaws, which is going to be really good. And there's other games around the corner as well. Diving into this game, Star Wars Outlaws, it is the first ever open-world Star Wars game. It is canon, and it is set between the events of The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. You can explore distinct planets across the galaxy, both iconic and new. Risk it all as Kay Vez, an emerging scoundrel seeking freedom and the means to start a new life, along with her companion, Nix. Fight, steal, and outwit your way through the galaxy's crime syndicates as you join the galaxy's most wanted. And it ends with, if you're willing to take the risk, the galaxy is full of opportunity. And the game, we now know, is available from August 30th. So this summer, guys, August 30th, and it'll be available for PC, Xbox Series X/S, and the PlayStation 5, so it's a next-gen only for console players. I suppose for you, Chris, obviously the game's coming out quite soon, you know, August. You know, we'll be at the end of summer very soon. Would you be playing this on next-gen console or PC?
I'll be playing it on PS5. I mean, it's funny to call it next-gen now, because, I mean, I've been hearing all sorts of things about the next Xbox being produced and the PS6 is on the way. I mean, I think, if you think about it, these got released during the pandemic. Like, that's quite a long time. So these are next-gen only games, but I wonder how far off the next gen of consoles will be and what kind of bridge across we'll have for that.
Definitely. Key features of the game is discover a galaxy of opportunity, so explore distinct planets, as I've said, with bustling cities and cantinas before racing across sprawling outdoor landscapes on your speeder. Each planet brings new adventures, unique challenges, and enticing rewards if you're willing to take the risk. Experience in an original scoundrel story. Live the high-stakes lifestyle of an outlaw with Nix by your side to turn any situation to your advantage. Fight with your blaster, overcome enemies with stealth and gadgets, or find the right moments to distract enemies and gain the upper hand. Embark on high-stakes missions. Take on high-risk, high-reward missions from the galaxy's crime syndicates. Steal valuable goods. Infiltrate secret locations and outwit enemies as one of the galaxy's most wanted. Every choice you make influences your ever-changing reputation and in turn, obviously, the story you are playing. Jump into the pilot seat, pilot your ship, the Trailblazer, as you engage in thrilling dogfights with the Empire and other foes, finding the right opportunities to chase, evade, and attack to get the upper hand. So those are sort of all leading to the sort of the gameplay options and what we're going to be doing. I think what excites me is, and it's certainly evident in the trailer, is sort of the different types of gameplay we're going to be doing in this game, Chris. You know, we're going to be on foot, talking to people, solving puzzles, jumping from rooftops, going into cantinas, starting brawls, using blasters, hiding, causing havoc. We're also going to be sort of racing, getting around the planet on speeder bikes. We're going to be using spaceships in space. And from what I've seen, the spaceship battles as well, looks like you're going to be able to, like, again, attack when you want or hide behind asteroids, things like that. Sort of, you know, really taking a lend of all the different types of battles we've seen in the Star Wars movies. You know, you think of Star Wars battles, you know, you've got, you know, the outright dogfighting of A New Hope. You know, you've got the strategic different type of spaceships in your Return of the Jedi. I think you've got, you know, if you look at Attack of the Clones, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Jango Fett, you know, Kenobi hiding to stay away from him. You could be doing some of that.
I think stealth is going to be a big part of this game from the trailers. I think you're going to be doing a lot more hiding, at least initially, than out and out fighting. But I think as things go on, you level up, you get your stats up, and you know, various other things improve the trailblazer. I think then you'll be able to go out and, you know, an all-out approach. But I don't think this is going to be quite Metal Gear Solid. I think it's always going to be balancing the fact that it's Star Wars. So you'll always be able to get your blaster out and just start blasting.
Indeed. Before we dive into the trailer and sort of what was in the trailer, I just want to talk about the time scale. So obviously the story is canon, and it's set between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, almost paying homage, I suppose, to Shadows of the Empire. What's your thoughts on where it's set in the Star Wars galaxy, and what's your hopes for what we may see?
I think it's set in a very interesting time, because we've seen a lot of exploration of before A New Hope, and then recently we've seen a lot of things taking place in the post-Return of the Jedi period, but it's been a while since we've had a major piece of media put out for Star Wars that is set in this exact time period. And the cool part about this from a storytelling perspective is that pretty much all of the major players are still alive, running about, doing their thing, and they are as they are in the movies. You know, yeah, okay, you got Obi-Wan Kenobi's dead and so on, but I mean, you don't have to, you know, it's not like when we played Battlefront 2 campaign, you run into Luke and Luke is starting to build his new Jedi Order or anything like that. It's no, if you were to run into Luke during this time period, he would still be the inexperienced young boy that we met in the movies. He may be starting to move towards, you know, the all black tunic wearing Luke, but we'd still get a bit of innocence, and you've still got Darth Vader running around as actual Darth Vader. So it's a really interesting time to set it in. The other thing as well is that it's when the Empire is arguably at its strongest. It's clamped down after the Death Star attack. As they say in the trailer, they are more preoccupied with the rebellion than anything else. It's a really interesting time period, but it hasn't been explored that much as of recent.
Indeed, and I think, you know, tying in with the Star Wars comics, they have recently told stories in this time period, not just with our heroes, but also with the crime syndicates and what they're doing. In particular, Crimson Dawn. And we did indeed see Kira in this trailer.
Ah, did we?
We did indeed. She was at the table.
I'm not sure if that was Kira.
So I believe it was when sort of the main new gangster, who I believe is called Shiro, when he's talking about, he names the different, the pikes, it shows you a pike. He mentions Crimson Dawn, it shows you Kira, and then he mentions the Hutts, and it shows you sort of, not Jabba, but it shows you Jabba's men, essentially.
Yeah. I didn't take that was Kira, but I'm hopeful that she's in the game. I mean,
she is, and I believe it's going to be quite central to the story, I believe.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's interesting, because obviously they set up a lot of this stuff in Solo, and yes, it's been explored in the comics, but just from your average Star Wars fans' point of view, who might not read the comics or the extra lore, they're like, well, what happened with that character? We know what happened with Han Solo, but what happened with Kira? I mean, that's the big cliffhanger at the end of Solo. And just on that kind of vibe, this trailer and the whole game in general gives me big Solo vibes. You're kind of, it's not that you are a scoundrel, you're learning how to become a scoundrel.
And you're going to have to become the best scoundrel to survive, I think, is what it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, let's dive into the trailer. I love the beginning of the trailer. You know, we see this new gangster, who I believe is called Shiro, I believe he's called, and he's running this new crime
syndicate. Sliro.
Spiro, that's the one. And he's also obviously coordinating things with the Pikes, with Crimson Dawn, with the Hutts. He names them as people who he's talking to and being with. I loved how this guy's got that original Jabba the Hutt, when Jabba that was a man from the deleted scene from A New Hope look. You know, it's very Henry VIII type. You know, he's got, he's wearing the furs with the tunic and the chain. He's got the beard. You know, he's maybe a bit more well-kept, shall we say, than that one. But obviously, for those who don't know, also the scene we in the New Hope original cut, there's no Jabba the Hutt in the Millennium Falcon Dock and Bay. Obviously, in the 97 re-release, the scene's put back in, and obviously there's a computer-generated Jabba where the man was. And that's why it's awkward when Han has to step on Jabba's tail and go over him, because in the original deleted scene, Han just walks around the man. It's just a big fat man who looks like Henry VIII. But yeah, so I like how sort of they've tied this new guy into sort of the heritage of that, I thought. And then a subtle little bit of poetry going on there.
I hadn't picked up on that detail, but you're totally right. And you know, I've read a few interviews with the developers, and they're saying that Saliro is a very rich aristocratic member of society, and he's used this money, this wealth he's got, to create his own criminal gang, the Zerik Besh. And so he's kind of entering into this world, and he's got more money than he knows what to do with, but he wants to generate as much money as possible.
Certainly. Does it say where his homeworld is?
They did not give off where his homeworld is, I don't think, but actually I think it's Canto Bite. Now I think of it, because this scene that we see on the beginning is, according to developers, on Canto Bite, and that's one of the places where we'll be visiting. And actually, the main character, Kay Vess, is going to be from the slums of Canto Bite. So I think this is going to give you that nice sort of personal involvement of sort of the rich versus the poor, the upper versus the lower class, the struggle, and so on. So yeah, he's from Canto Bite.
There we go. I thought that was the case, because I knew that Kay Vess was from Canto Bite, so when these guys seem to have are going to have a history, it seems like, once we get playing the game. So yeah, so obviously, you know, what was your thoughts when we saw these different crime syndicates and you saw them mentioned?
I love it. I think it's so cool to be exploring this, and they've been setting, maybe not specifically this game up, but this game is picking up on things that have been introduced over, you know, since Disney's really, you know, taken over. You know, we've got the Pikes, who have been around for a while, but I think to most of your casual Star Wars fans, are really introduced through the Book of Boba Fett, which came out a couple of years back. As you say, we've got the Crimson Dawn there as well. You believe that's Kira. I don't, but we'll settle in the middle and say it's Crimson Dawn, definitely. And they were, you know, really kind of brought to the forefront to people in Solo. Obviously, the Hutts are there. I believe it's a Weekree that's at the table, which, you know, the longest standing criminal gang to us, pretty much, that we know from Return of the Jedi. But there are other clans, well, other gangs in the game as well. So perhaps we didn't see everybody at the table there, or perhaps he's Saligo is trying to pull together a group of these and sort of, you know, make a sort of faction of gangs. But there is also confirmed in the game a new clan of gangsters called the Ashiga clan, who seem to be quite inspired by Japanese samurai, Japanese sort of things that I can see. But you have to wonder, if that's the case, will there be other gangs in the game? You know,
yeah. I mean, I think that's really cool. Thing, obviously, you know, Japanese culture and Japanese history certainly was a huge influence to George Lucas creating the galaxy of Star Wars. So to have that influence, a new gang he has, really cool. I think for me, you know, I think when you hear him sort of riling up the crime syndicates at the beginning, I wonder if two things, either one, he's bringing them together to be his own personal force type of thing, or number two, is he trying to rile them up against the Empire? So A, keeps the Empire busy from him, but also keeps them busy amongst themselves and with the Empire, and is going to allow him to take advantage and really seize the opportunity against all of them.
Possibly. Oh, I suppose there's another option that, you know, he's on that. It's his turf right there. So they've all come to his palace. So maybe this is a show of force, you know, from things that I've read, the Zerik Besh are the new gang on the scene. So this might be a subtle display of power of him saying, don't fuck with me.
Definitely. I think you've already hinted at the Empire and the Rebellion, and obviously where we are, you know, the Death Star's been blown up. The Empire has striked back, as they say. Luke Skywalker has been defeated at Bespin. So our heroes are probably, you know, Han is frozen in carbonite, as we know, because he doesn't get unfrozen to Return of the Jedi. We also see a frozen Han in Jabba's palace in the trailer, just to show you that visual as well as telling you. So Han's in carbonite. Chewbacca and Lando are probably looking to locate him, I imagine. You know, Leia is building the rebellion up. while waiting for intel on Luke Skywalker. I imagine he's doing a little bit of building the rebellion up alongside his sister, although he doesn't know it's his sister yet, while also doing some Jedi training and developing those skills that we're going to see come Return of the Jedi. As for the Empire, we know they're building the second Death Star in secret. Will we see that at this point? Who knows? And we know that the Emperor's probably starting to lay his plan to secretly leak the location of the battle station to the Rebellion to lure them in, thinking that it is unstoppable. I think that sums it up for where we are in terms of the Empire and the Rebellion and the state of the galaxy, unless you think anything different, Chris. Anything you want to add?
No, not really. I think the only thing that I think sort of interest is, you know, you can start, you know, adding 2 + 2 and getting 5, and you've got to think, so right, so we're going to Tatooine. We'll talk about the planets a bit later on, but we've got Han hanging up on the wall. We've got Jabba, definitely confirmed. Will we see other characters who are, you know, at least connected to Tatooine? You know, I mean, Boba Fett's got to be a good shout, right?
I think so. You know, he's the one who took Han Solo to Jabba the Hutt. And, you know, when we see Return of the Jedi, Boba Fett's there, still partying. So there's a good chance we see Boba Fett, I think, in the background, yes.
We could see Max Rebo.
I hope so. You know, we'll want some sweet, sweet music getting played while we're in that part of the game.
There's, you know, all of Jabba's, you know, wonderful menagerie of characters that we can see right there. But I wonder how much will actually be in Jabba's palace, because as we know, Jabba's still in place come Return of the Jedi. So there's certain. That's why I suppose it's good that there are some new clans in the game and clans that we don't necessarily know what happens to, because the one that we can definitely say is still somewhat intact by the end of, but well, by the time we hit Return of the Jedi, is the Hutt Syndicate.
It is indeed. That's why I think maybe I can see you working for the Hutt and doing some damage against other clans, is what I am thinking. And I don't know whether your story is going to tie into the rebellions, because I mean, who knows, maybe you're the person who lets Lando get into the palace. Maybe that's the end of the game, something like that.
I mean, in a way, like, you know, it's fun to speculate, could we see Boba Fett? But it's kind of like, at the same time, it would be great to have a completely fresh story. You know, this is a character, it's our own thing, and we don't have to, you know, we don't have to think about, like, you know, how is she going to interact with Luke Skywalker? And if that's the case, why is she not mentioned in Return of the Jedi or anything like that? Maybe it's just something completely new.
Indeed. So it looks like, you know, in the trailer, you know, we see a lot about the blaster. We see her holstering it. We see her talking about it. We see her using it. And Nix, obviously, which is her companion, alien companion. I don't know if you knew this, but Nix is going to be voiced by Dee Bradley Baker, of course, the voice of the entire Bad Batch.
Ah, okay, cool.
So that is quite cool. You're going to become, you know, at the beginning of the game, I think you're going to have the blaster at the beginning, I imagine, and you're going to have Nix, and, you know, you can use the blaster to fight, and you can also use Nix, it looks like, to, you know, run and push buttons for you, attack people, cause distractions. So he's going to be Nix is going to be a great companion / tool to have. I don't know what your thoughts were on the dynamics and how that looked in the trailer, switching between the blaster and using Nix to your advantage.
I think it'll be cool. I think it'll set it apart from, you know, I mean, at its heart, you've got to think this game is somewhat of a GTA clone, you know, to give it, it sounds negative when I say that. I think this is going to be great, but it's for an open world. You're running around, you can take vehicles, you can drive around. It's more of a GTA clone than, for example, Jedi Fallen Order was, or Jedi Survivor. You need a different mechanic in there. So for people not to just say, oh, it's GTA in space or whatever, you know. So I think it'll be a cool little thing to use, but I wonder how much of it will be essential and how much of it will be optional. You know, do you have to use Nix, or can you go a long period of time just blasting away? Or is the best strategy going to be to use both?
Yeah. And I can see it maybe being different types of side quests and things that way. Maybe, you know, some will be straight up shoot 'em ups and some will be like sneak around and send Nix to open a lever and problem solve puzzles that way, maybe. So we will see. Obviously, one thing we do see is a spaceship. That looks like it's going to be your main spaceship. We see sort of it being stolen by the main character. I don't know what your
permanently borrowed is the terminology they're using.
So I don't know how you feel about A, how the ship looks, and then also B, how the gameplay looks of actually piloting the ship.
I think the ship has got a cool design. It's got a nice iconic design. You know, it's got little bits of other craft here, but it's a bit more squarey and boxy. I think it looks like a cool design. I wonder how it's going to pilot, though. That's my concern, I think, is that a lot of Star Wars games have tried to do it all. They've tried to be land, they've tried to be combat, they've tried to transition, you know, very smoothly over into space combat. And it's a very hard thing to achieve. You know, Battlefront, for example, is a game tries this, but actually kind of separates them off into different bits. But if the promise of an open world is true, I mean, will we be able to get into our ship and then just fly? That's not something that they're touting in the game. So I imagine they would be if this was a major feature. But how much control are we going to have flying that ship? Is it just going to be little sections? You know, how are we going to do this?
I imagine it'll be like a star map. So long travel, you'll travel by hyperspace. So you'll tell it where to go and it'll just fly there. And you can probably do things in the ship while it's in hyperspace. But then once you land in the certain sectors, that's when you can like free fly in the atmosphere of planets and like asteroid fields and space stations and things.
Yeah, that makes sense. It'll be really cool if it can pull all of these elements off. Yeah, I am looking forward to it. The combat itself on foot, one slight reserve is that it's Ubisoft, who are not. Their combat isn't always the greatest. Sometimes it can feel a little bit clunky, and enemies can sometimes feel like bullet sponges and things like that. But I'm sure that LucasArts wouldn't be wanting to release anything that isn't anything but the utmost best that they can do. So I'm interested to see what they do there, but it does fill me with a little bit of just, we'll see how this feels.
Yeah, we certainly will. Obviously, you know, we've talked about the spaceships, the blasters. We've talked about some of the characters we might see in the Crime Syndicates. There's quite a lot of space creatures we see. You know, we see a Sarlacc pit of some sort, creating some danger. And we also see a Krayt dragon, it looks like. Obviously, the skeletons of the Krayt dragon seen in A New Hope, and obviously a real-life Krayt dragon seen in the Book of Boba Fett, recently on Disney+. Don't know what your thoughts were on sort of these creatures and like how they're tying into making this a very visceral Star Wars experience.
I think it's a cool thing. It's good that we're not just going to be just fighting the Empire. We're not going to be just fighting the criminal syndicates, but we're also going to have various types of creatures that we can encounter as well. Obviously, we saw this relatively recently in Jedi Survivor as well. But being a Jedi in that game, you had a lot of powers, so you could start, you know, you could influence the animals, you can control them, you can do various different things. You can use them on your side, but presumably for our unfortunate heroine, she's not going to be able to do that being a scoundrel and not a Jedi. So it's going to be a much more dangerous world for her. But the challenge when creating an open world game is making it feel lived in, making it feel real and breathable and so on. It's not just the human side of things or the alien side of things. You also need to make sure that there's flora and fauna and various other things. So I'm glad that they featured that in the trailer just to reassure everybody that it's not just Metal Gear Solid 5. It's not just big, empty, open spaces with nothing going on in them.
Definitely. I think something else we see in the trailer is, you know, we set up a couple of different dynamics. So we set up the Crime Syndicate dynamic. We set up obviously our main character's dynamic to the Crime Syndicates. Then we also meet a sort of a new group of people who maybe want to help our main character but are also asking her to steal something. And obviously this is, I don't know what the guy's name is, I don't know if that's been said yet, but it's obviously
the guy who's explaining it to her.
Yeah.
His name is Jaylen.
So we have Jaylen, who has, it looks like he has an old commando droid from the Clone Wars as his companion.
Yeah, yeah, it's a BX droid that's been modified, apparently. It's called ND5.
So there we go. So, and then in a lot of the posters and pictures of the game, it's like Star Wars Outlaws, and then it's like the background, and it's like it's these two. It's the droid and the main character, like, sort of walking side by side. So it looks like you're going to be working with these guys a lot. And then it also looks like the sort of the major players, the major enemies in this, are going to send bounty hunters after you, and then they're going to find out that you are connected to this crew. And I'm a bit worried about it. So, don't know what your thoughts were on sort of the setup of this sort of story within the story.
Yeah, I think it's good. It shows us that there's going to be a lot of story to the game, which is, you know, great to see that they're putting a lot of thought into it. The bounty hunter who's being sent after after Kay is apparently called Vale, and she, if you notice in the trailer, she's got some cyborg elements to her. Maybe she's God, I don't want to say this. Maybe she's a mod, but she's definitely been modded somewhat. She's got robotic fingers and she's got some kind of Borg stuff on her head, but she's largely human. But it seems like she's a bit out of her depth in this trailer because she gets beaten up by ND5 and then she's being held accountable by Sliro and trying to justify the fact that the main character isn't quite who they thought she was.
Indeed. Before we move on to sort of the planets that we've been told we're going to see and what we've spotted in the trailer, is there anything from the trailer that you want to highlight that we haven't spoken about yet?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing I wanted to talk about definitely was, so we talked about the clans a bit before, but I'm just wondering, I get the feeling that there's more clans. There's more criminal syndicates. So have you got anybody who, you know, you might pull out of your knowledge of the EU of Star Wars that you might think, you know, it'd be cool if they appeared?
So for me, I think something that's been mentioned in Star Wars movies, but we haven't really seen much of them other than that, is like the Kangs from The Force Awakens. So you have the Guavian Death Gang and obviously Kanja Club.
Yeah.
So let's bring these guys in and give them a bit of history here. It'll be really cool. Really. And, you know, the Guavian Death Gang soldiers are in red with the circles on the masks. You know, they look really cool. You know, obviously the Kanja Club is obviously all the guys from the raid. So, you know, if we can get those guys, if you come across them and they're all martial arts experts, again, it's going to be a tricky, different type of enemy. Really cool to fight against and gives them a bit of a backstory. So for me, I would love to see the Guavian Death Gang and I would love to see Kanja Club. So, yeah, that's the main two I would love to see. It's just going to make The Force Awakens up much more richer.
Yeah, I mean, there were some of that I'd thought of as well. The other two that I thought would be cool to see, I mean, you mentioned Shadows of the Empire before, Black Sun. You know, could we get Prince Caesar appearing, returning? He's been brought back in canon. He's definitely still around, but he's not, as far as I know, been featured in a main story.
I don't think so. I think that clan's been seen in the Clone Wars, I'm sure. So they are definitely canon, I believe. I'm sure that they are Mandalorian and stuff, unless I've dreamt that up. That's in the Clone War period. So, yeah,
I've definitely seen reference to them sometime recently. They're definitely still around. But it's just, I don't think. I mean, I know they've been in the comics, and I believe Prince Zizor was in a comic recently, but, you know, all of that lovely stuff was wiped out when Disney bought it, so now might be the right time to start introducing that gang. And speaking of which, I had a thought, which was, you know, obviously there's all this talk that the next movie that's going to be coming out is going to be that, you know, kind of a version of Heir to the Empire. And one of the major guys in that, you know, is Card, who, you know, is part of the smuggling gang, the Carter smugglers at that time anyway. So it could be an interesting way to soft launch that gang into Star Wars by bringing them into this game here as well.
It would be such a good way to do it, very subtle way, very natural way. And why not? You know, I think you think about interesting things subtly, you know, I think one of the planets we're going to see in this game is Akiva. Which actually debuted in Star Wars novel, for example. So, you know, like, we can introduce things in many different places and then bring it into Star Wars that way. So that would be really cool. Talking about the planets, obviously I've mentioned one there, Kiva, which is sort of outer rim planet. Goes through quite a different history. You know, I think it was obviously a separatist world. You know, I think they obviously stand up and overthrow the Empire at one point, join the New Republic. They're the first outer rim planet to join the New Republic, I believe. And then at one point, you know, the New Republic gets sort of outvoted and the vote in a sort of a rich dude who has ties to the First Order, which is not good. So a planet that throughout its history that we know about, you know, has quite a turmoil of time and changes sides quite a lot and changes sort of political ideologies quite a lot. I don't know what your thoughts are on us seeing a Kiva, and if you have any thoughts on a Kiva in this game.
I'll be honest, this is the first time that I'd heard of Akiva. I hadn't read that that story, and I didn't know the backstory of Akiva either, so I'm a little bit blind to it, but I believe that is the sort of jungly world that we see very briefly in the trailer when the stormtroopers are pushing around the locals. So it's going to be an interesting environment, definitely, but I don't know too much about it. But I did find a list, I compiled a bit of a list from a couple of different interviews of planets that we're going to be seeing. So I don't know if you've got one in front of you, Peter.
Well, so one that is easy to spot in the trailer is, from just its design, is obviously Kijimi, obviously seen in The Rise of Skywalker, home planet of Zori Bliss. So I don't know if you want to talk about Kijimi on your list and your hopes for Kijimi in the movie, in the game, sorry, even.
I think it'll just be cool to see a little bit more of it. We didn't really get very much time with it in the sequel trilogy. It's just a small bit here and there. And, you know, we think about a planet like Dagobah, something like that, you know, which has a very small appearance in the original trilogy. We see very little of it, but the amount it's been explored in games and various things, or Cloud City, all of these different bits. It's what I'm most excited for is how they're going to expand these planets, because they're not just going to replicate what we saw in the movies, especially in the case of Kijimi. I mean, this is set, what, 20 to 30 years before we see it in the movies. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they take an empire-ruled Kijimi.
Indeed. And one of the things I like about Kijimi is, obviously, we don't see it very much, but we see the seedy side of, like, the bars. We see the droid merchants, you know. We also see the housing, you know, in the townsfolk, and the first, like, going house to house, knocking on doors. So we see quite a bit of it. You know, it's design is what I'm sort of seeing there. So to be able to explore that in deeper, I think I'm very excited about seeing Kijimi. And then obviously, of course, you know, we see Jabba's palace, so we're definitely going to Tatooine. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Are you excited to go back to Tatooine, or are you bored of Tatooine?
I'm quite excited to go back in a video game. I think that's fine. You can save Tatooine from live action stuff for a while. I'm okay. I'm a bit Tatooined out, but it's a great setting, and you couldn't not have Tatooine in this game. It doesn't feel shoehorned in at all. It's, you know, well established Jabba's palace. It's the center of criminal activity. That absolutely Tatooine should be in the game, and I was pleasantly surprised when I saw Jabba turn up in the trailer, because it meant we get to go there. And if this is open world, you know, if we've got a big open sandbox, excuse the pun, on Tatooine to play with, does this mean that we can go find lots of Easter eggs and secrets? Can we go and find, you know, Uncle Owen Aunt Beru's, you know, homestead? Can we find all of these? Can we find all Ben's little hut out there? Can we find the Krayt Dragon bones? There's all sorts of things that we could find. And I think it'll be quite cool if it is open world, because it's going to give us a bit of a sense of scale as well. Because sometimes in Star Wars, you're never quite sure, you know, is Tatooine a planet the size of Earth, or is it a planet the size of London? You're never quite sure, because people move around quite a lot. So it'll be interesting, I think, after all of these years, to get a bit of a sense of scale.
Definitely. And do you think that a live Krayt Dragon we see in the trailer is on Tatooine or somewhere else?
I think it makes sense for it to be on Tatooine, right? I mean, we saw the bones in A New Hope, and then we saw the actual crate dragon in The Mandalorian as well. I think it seems like it's probably a safe bet that that's probably going to be maybe even a boss battle on Tatooine, and maybe it'll borrow quite a bit from The Mandalorian in terms of what happened right there.
Indeed. Do you want to shoot with some of your planets?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, absolutely. So the other ones that we have, we've got Toshara, which is a new planet, but we did get to see that in the first gameplay reveal trailer, which was released about 6 months ago or so. So that's the big one that we've had our best look at. Any thoughts on Toshara? Did you see the first trailer?
I did, yeah. So I think it's good to see sort of new planets that we're going to be able to explore quite deeply. So, you know, it's going to be, not only is it somewhere new, but we're going to be able to explore it quite deeply, get a good understanding of it. And then it means if it does come into storytelling later, whether it be comics, books, TV shows, movies, then us who've played it and explored it are going to really benefit from that and really get a different type of feel when we see it pop up again. So I'm excited for that.
Definitely. The next one that was revealed by the developers was Mirogana, which is another new planet, at least as far as I'm aware. Have you ever heard of it before?
I have not.
No, so I think this is a brand new planet to the game. And then, as you said, we've got Kiva, Kijimi, Tatooine, and Canto Bight as well, which obviously we saw in The Last Jedi, but we saw a very small part of it. And we only saw the casino, really, and a little bit around it. But it'll be interesting to see, right, what's the rest of that planet like? I'm willing to bet that parts of it are like Las Vegas and parts of it are extremely poor.
I think so. You know, think about the parts we saw. You know, we saw the casino, we saw the beach, we saw the cliffs, and then we saw like the stables, but that's it. That's all we saw. So there's a lot of areas that we need to go and see. So I'm excited to explore Canto Bight. I think it has so much potential. So I'm very excited. I wonder if they've styled the game on like the location where it was, which I believe was in Croatia. Was where Canto Bight was filmed. So very, very interesting.
Do you think there'll be any more planets? I mean, they seem to be releasing quite a bit of information now, which tells me that there's probably more coming. At least I'm hopeful there is. I mean, selfishly, I want to see as many planets as possible. But then again, you have to also think of creating an open world for all of these different planets. It's a lot of work.
So I think, you know, I think it's definitely going to be planets that we don't know about till the game comes out, because they have to. I don't think there'll be loads, maybe one or two or three. Part of my dream, I'm holding out for Coruscant.
Oh, don't.
Obviously, that would be very expensive to do, but I think if you're going to do it here. It's open world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it will. I think, you know, Coruscant, we know we got promised kind of like a semi-open world in Star Wars 1313, the famous cancelled game that was cancelled as soon as Disney took over Star Wars. I think unless they're going to go into an unbelievable amount of detail, I think Coruscant is its own game. I think it's so deep. There's so much there.
Well, here's what I think. So I think if you do Coruscant right, and then you have some of the game takes part there, right? But obviously we're not talking about DLC yet, right? Because the game's not even out yet. But like, who's to say once you finish the story, they don't start releasing like DLC packs of like more story?
Yeah, well,
and that's where we can build upon these locations more.
Quite possibly. I mean, they've already announced, because they're Ubisoft, that there's, you know, DLC. Sorry, not there's DLC. There's pre-order bonuses, and there's also you can pay for. There's going to be some kind of paid thing you can do where you'll get extra bonuses, which is very, very unusual for a single player game. Usually, that's reserved for your Call of Duties or whatever. I hope they don't ruin it with microtransactions. And I hope that LucasArts would caution them about that based on what happened with EA when they were doing their microtransactions. And you could either play something stupid like 6,000 hours of Battlefront 2 to unlock Darth Vader, or you could pay like $60 and get him right now.
Definitely. Well, I don't even remember that correctly, but when the microtransaction thing came to light with Battlefront, it made that much noise that Bob Iger got involved and actually rang in and said, get them out now.
Yeah.
And it's obviously keep the ones in that are for cosmetic use only, but not your skill points. So I think any game company doesn't want to risk the wrath of Big Bob, the greatest executive of all time. So
yeah, well, especially when it's your first attempt at a Star Wars game as well. You know, you've got to think that this is an audition. You know, you've been handed the reins to the greatest franchise in history. You know, don't fuck it up.
Definitely. Is there anything about the game that we've not talked about that you would wish to share?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I noticed that I wanted to chat about here. So the first thing is, you know, August 30th. That's not that long away. I mean, that is refreshingly close. Usually, you know, when you see this, it'll be like August 2027, maybe not that far, but like August 2025, you'd be like, oh man, I've got to wait a whole another year. And it's like, August isn't that far away. And in between that, we're getting the Long Day. I can't remember its name. What's it called? The new Star Wars series coming out.
We're getting a lot. So you've got to think of it this way, you know. Bad Batch is still ongoing. And that runs up until the beginning of May. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then on May the 4th, we get the short animated series, Star Wars Tales of the Empire.
I'm super excited for that, actually.
And then come June, we then get Star Wars Acolyte.
That's what I was trying to think of.
So there's a lot between now and August.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, like we've got one series to finish, two new series to start and finish, plus whatever else we're getting publishing-wise.
It is a good time to be a Star Wars fan, and even a better time to podcast about it.
It is indeed. And while we're talking about this, you know, I imagine by summer, The Mandalorian and Grogu, the new Star Wars movie, will be shooting by then, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to be at least close to shooting. I think, you know, all of this it's been too quiet for too long, I think. But yeah, I think we're going to see some major reveals at the next, you know, there's a 2-year break this time for stuff. There's not a Star Wars con this year, right? But there is,
it's not a Star Wars con, but there is D23, the Disney con, which is this year. So we'll get that news of D23.
Right. Okay, cool. Well, the other things I wanted to chat about is, firstly, I'm really looking forward to but I don't know what you'd call it, the reputation system, the like-dislike system, if you will. So you can play the gangs off against each other, apparently. If gangs don't like you, they don't have enough like points, then they'll be outwardly hostile to you, they'll refuse to work with you. You can do things to prevent this. You can, you know, give them their fair share. You can screw them over. And then, you know, maybe you choose one gang over another. And, you know, how will that play into the gameplay? Apparently, you know, that's going to form choices along the game, and everyone's going to have a bit of a different experience as a result. But it's going to be, I think it's really cool, because it reminds me a lot of the Fallout games, especially the Fallout games that were made by the original studio, you know, Fallout New Vegas and so on, where, you know, if you sided with one gang over another, one faction over another, you couldn't work for the other faction, completely locked them off. I think that's going to give you lots of options for replayability as well.
It certainly is. It just popped in my mind, actually, another gang I would like to see in this is the Haxian Brood, who we obviously first saw in the Star Wars Survivor games.
That would be cool. I think if this game was made by EA, I think we'd be saying, yeah, we're going to see them straight away. But I think the fact that this is Ubisoft, I'm not sure if we'll see the Haxian Brood, but it would be a great way of tying things together.
It certainly will be.
Another thing that I wanted to chat about was Kay herself. We haven't talked too much about Kay, our lead character. I have to say, you know, her design is, I won't say updated from the first trailer, but the first trailer it was mainly CG and actual gameplay. But when we're seeing the in-game stuff here, the in-game cutscenes, she's giving me really heavy Ripley from Alien vibes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there had to be an influence. And you can see why, for the strongest female protagonist ever. You know, it's a good one to have. And she's got a very distinct look to her. She's also got a tattoo as well on her shoulder and leading down to her chest, which have we had any main Star Wars characters with visible tattoos before? I mean, obviously you got Darth Maul and so on. Well, is it tattoos for Darth Maul? I know that they originally started off as tattoos, but then I think they might have been retconned, maybe.
Yeah, I think for tattoos, I think for me, it's either as it is in real life. You know, it's either somebody expressing themselves, or it's somebody expressing themselves on you. So, is it a gang sign? Is it was she once a slave and a slave sign? Is it her just showing her freedom and had that done?
We don't get a good look at it in the trailer, in the entire thing, because she's got a jacket on throughout the entire game. It's very prominent. I think that that tattoo is going to play into something later. It's going to mean something because it's clearly on display.
Yeah, I think if it's gang related or clan related, then it's obviously going to maybe help you in some situations, but also hindering in others if you meet people who don't like this clan and that type of thing.
Yeah, well, that could be interesting if there was an option to like hide or show your tattoo, and that might affect different things in different ways. She seems like she's got a good bit of humor to her as well. I mean, one of my favorite bits of the trailer is the bit where she's trying to steal the ship, the Trailblazer, and she kind of hits the button to go, and that she adjusts the seat. Like that's classic Star Wars, you know, banging your hand on the dashboard to make the ship go type of thing. It's great, and it shows that the developers are really paying attention to those little details. And I think a lot of people have paid attention to Star Wars, but I think the developing of it, making sure the universe is there. And there's plenty of examples of good Star Wars games. There's plenty of examples of bad Star Wars games. And I don't think, you know, we kind of bemoaned a bit at the beginning of today's episode that we were in the dark times where there were no Star Wars games. Now there seems to be, you know, more coming through the gates, but it's not quite a floodgate. And I don't think there's really bad Star Wars games released. Even, you know, Battlefront, which was kind of derided when it first came out, later received updates and became, you know, a very well-received game. Eventually, it was more to do with the microtransactions and various other things that left a bad taste in people's mouths for that.
Certainly. I think one of the questions I've got for you is, obviously this is an open world game with like RPG elements. What are you hoping for, like hours wise, to get out of this game to complete sort of the main story?
Ooh, to complete the main story. You see, I'm the type of person, I want to do every side quest. I want to ride this out for as long as possible and enjoy it. I would hope it might be a good 20, 30 hours to do that. Now, whether that's all main story stuff, I don't know. But I think, you know, right now, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 planets. And we've got at least 4 clans to be battling against, plus the Empire. I think there could be an absolute wealth of things to do here. But it all depends on how big a slice of those planets you get. I mean, if you think back to, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, kind of, okay, it's a similar kind of setup. You've got your own ship, you build your own crew, presumably. You're going to be going, you can choose these different planets, you travel between them. But when you go to those planets, due to the limitations at the time, you had a very small slice of that planet that you were playing on. And Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Republic 2 are two of my favorite games, so do not take anything by my words there. I love those games to pieces. But it's just, it'll be interesting to see how much we get, because one of the prominent things that we have got is a speeder bike, which tend to move pretty fast. So you'd think that they must be giving us quite a big chunk of these worlds. So, I mean, what do you think, Peter?
I would love for the main storyline to sort of be about 30 hours. And I think to do all the side quests, you know, I'm talking 40 or 50.
Yeah.
You know, that's maybe being greedy, maybe, but I think that would be perfect value for money, you know. And I think, you know, really commits you as a player to dive into this game and getting to grips with it. And obviously, then if they release DLC later, you know, again, that time you've put in will be proven worthy when they release sort of either new planets or new areas of planets or new factions to interact with. You know, I think that'll be fantastic.
And I do hope that they do that. I mean, I hope game length-wise, I'd like to, my answer is basically GTA 5. I hope it takes as long as GTA 5 did. And you can blast through GTA 5 if you just do the story missions and you are just hell-bent on completing it. But if you're doing all of the side missions and various other things that come up, it takes you a long time to complete that game. And I think GTA 6 is going to take even longer. And I hope it does. And with this Star Wars game, I do hope that they do release DLC. I feel by the end of the story of the base game, we will have completed Kay's story. I think she'll... I think we might be wrapped up with her, but there's no reason why it couldn't do a spoilers for Red Dead Redemption type of thing here. You know, at the end of the game, when your main character dies or completes their objective, you don't take over somebody else and you play as them and you can still go around this open world.
Definitely. I think that's, you know, you can introduce more new characters that way. You know, if you finish, you know, her story, you would say it doesn't give you a new DLC with a different character, maybe one you've actually met throughout the first game. Do you know what I mean? Through the first part of the game. It could be very, very interesting that way. I suppose my thoughts too, do you think we'll see any lightsabers in this game?
I hope not. I think it would be good to go a whole game without any. I think, you know, we've had Jedi in a lot of games, a lot of everything. I think we just need a good old scoundrel story. And you've got to remember, I mean, at this time, really, if we're going off the movies, there's only really three people that have lightsabers. Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, and Yoda. Yoda's on Dagobah, so I doubt that we'll be going that way. But we do have a chance to see Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, and they're the ones who would be bringing out a lightsaber, really. But who knows? Maybe we could run into another character who has a lightsaber. I mean, they do tend to pop up quite a lot throughout Star Wars, especially the extended universe. So maybe we are going to see somebody. But I personally, my vote would be no. Let's keep it to blasters and force pikes.
Indeed. Do you think we'll see any construction of the second Death Star?
It would make sense if we did. I mean, especially I feel that the Canto Bight connection might hint at that, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that some of the stories came out said that the second Death Star was largely funded by investment through Canto Bight or the gambling or so. I'm not sure. I think the Emperor was went a bit of a gambling spree, I think, and got lucky and built another Death Star. So I do think that will be part of it, I think. And you've got to think, you know, it's based on Las Vegas, real life, Las Vegas, where was the money in Las Vegas with the mob? So was the Emperor, will we see the Emperor basically? And will he be cutting deals with Sligo or somebody else, you know, to try and get the funds to make this second Death Star? Or has he already been making it for years and years? Indeed. You know, God knows what the Emperor actually does or what his plans are.
We will see. We will see. Are you hoping for... We'll put in a spot here. Are you hoping that Nix makes it out of the game, or are you hoping that Nix dies in the game?
Oh, you can't have the cat dog axolotl thing die, can you?
I don't think so, but I thought you might be a bad man. I thought I'd just double check.
No, I hope Nix makes it out of the game. And I think it would be very difficult. I think there'll be a part of the game where Nyx is missing, and you have to play without Nyx, and you see how difficult it is, and you do a rescue mission, and you get Nyx back and everything else. But I don't think that Nyx will actually die in the game. There might be a possibility for Nyx to die, and that gives you a game over, potentially.
Yeah.
But I don't think Nyx will die, but it wouldn't surprise me if some of these characters definitely die, because there seems to be quite a lot of characters popping up that we have never heard of before.
Indeed. I think there's an opportunity where maybe if you get sent down to the Rancor pit, Nyx would maybe like talk to the Rancor, similar to how Baxter talks to the bears in Anchorman.
Yeah, well, there is that. I would like to see that. I would like very much to see that. I think it's probably inevitable we're going to fight a Rancor. It feels a little bit soon after we had Jedi Survivor, but you know what? These are two different companies working on different games.
We are indeed. And joking aside, I think it would be cool to see interactions with, if not the Rancor, maybe interactions with the Rancor Keeper.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's part of the whole, you know, menagerie of characters that are there at Jabba's Palace. Why am I so forgetful today? The Major Domo. What's his name? Twi'lek.
Oh, Bib Fortuna.
Bib Fortuna. I mean, we've got to see Bib Fortuna. You know, the Silas Crumb, hopefully, will be there. I think you're going to see Max Rebo and the Max Rebo band. You may even see Una, potentially, the dancer who does fall to the Rancor in Return of the Jedi. There'll also be Gamorrean guards. You know, presumably at least one of them actually literally featured in the movie. Been working there a long time. So there's going to be lots of characters. Will we see, though, Peter... will we see the Spider Monks?
You know what? That would be like, even if they were like at arm's length, and as you went towards them, they like walk away. That would be cool.
Like, I would, yeah, because I remember everyone was talking online of the Book of Boba Fett. It's gonna go deep into the lore of the Spider Monks, and we did not see one.
Yeah, we did not. I think it would be hard to do, like on especially on a TV show, because like the whole idea of it's like. Bat shit, right? Like, yeah. It's a monk's brain inside a robotic skeleton, spider skeleton, however you think about it, right? So it's a bit like, where in a game you just have them there looking cool, and as you approach them, they can, like, fuck off, and it's a bit like, oh, it still keeps the illusion alive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you'd have to have one in the background somewhere, but, I mean, it's very much in the background of the Return of the Jedi. I mean, I didn't notice it for years and years when I was a kid. Then I finally did, and then I was like, what? These are, you know, I had Wikipedia then. I'm like, these are spider monks? Okay.
Indeed. I think what I'm looking forward to there, because I think obviously, you know, Jabba's obviously the king of the castle, right? And head of the Hood clan. But I think in his palace, like, it's not everything he says goes. You've got all these people who work for Jabba, but they've probably all got side hustles going on as well and give Jabba a cut.
So oh, definitely.
You'd be dealing with them, dealing with like their own little side hustles, I think. And so I would love to deal with those guys. I think one of the characters I would love to see is the Jabba's sort of droid inventory droid, who sort of, you know, when he's like, you're a feisty little one, but you'll soon respect. I'd love to see him. I'm sure he's got a name, but I can't off the top of your head. And I'm sure we saw a Rodian droid smith in the trailer.
We did, but I think that... so that was in the section of the trailer when we were talking about you're going to need some good friends to do this. So I think we're going to get that Rodian droid smith. We've obviously got Nyx. We've got the battle droid, the coat. And so I think they're going to form part of our crew. And from what I understand from reading interviews with the developer, basically the entire game is going to lead up to one big final heist on Canto Bight in Sligo's palace. So I think it's going to be very much, the game is going to be kind of Ocean's 11. You're going to be building your crew, planning it out, and then eventually executing. And I wonder if it'll give you the option to do this at any point, but probably until you reach the very end game, you'll just get absolutely massacred if you try it.
Yeah, definitely. And then one last thing I want to talk about is the vibes I got from, I've forgotten his name, I'm sure he reminds on, but this male character who's, you know, friends with the robot who's going to befriend you.
Oh, from Jason. Jalen.
Jalen, yeah. I got sort of Cal Katarn vibes from his like design.
Oh yes, I did a bit as well. And you know me, I love Cal Katarn, and I'm always hoping that Cal Katarn's going to pop up somewhere in my Star Wars, but I don't think it is him, even under a fake name or anything along those lines. But there's very, very heavy influences of Cal Katarn. They actually just released. We did just get a new Kyle Katarn game, a remake of Dark Forces that just came out, but it's still very much, very, very much EU, or old EU, should I say, Legends. But who knows? Maybe they will make me a very happy man, and at some point in the game, we will see a lightsaber, and it's Kyle Katarn. Although that wouldn't make any narrative sense at the time, but I wouldn't question it.
You would just be going wild, living your best life.
Yeah. I mean, I just give him his own game, man. Just give him it. New Jedi Order. Go. Do it now.
I'm surprised we haven't seen like a re-release of like... We haven't seen like a Black Series figure or a Vintage Collection figure. So I think the last Cal Katarn figure was probably the Power of the Force line.
I think the problem with Cal Katarn is, firstly, there's been no media of him since, what, like 2003?
Probably,
that
yes.
was when yeah. that was when Jedi Academy came out. I mean, that's so long before even the Disney merger. Like, yeah. you know, I mean, he pops up in a he heavily features in the books and in the Yuuzhan Vong War and so on. But I think the problem with Cal Katarn is he is a bit of a Mary Sue character. You know, all those complaints about Rey doing it. It's like, oh, he's Han Solo who becomes Luke Skywalker. And but because of that reason, he might not be great for live action, but he is perfect for a video game.
He is indeed. I think that pretty much wraps up everything I had to talk about in relation to Star Wars Outlaws. I don't know if you've got any closing points, Chris.
No, not really. The only thing is, I'm really excited for this game. I've got a couple of reservations, but I think it's going to be great. Everything I've seen of it looks good. The story looks fun. It looks Star Wars. You know, at the end of the day, it is a new Star Wars game. During episode one, man, I had them all that I could get my hands on. And some of those were atrocious. But you know what? I spent hours and hours and hours and hours playing them and having the best time doing it. Just getting the promise of being able to jump into a Star Wars universe and play around in a sandbox. Oh, that's enough for me to get me hooked. And then, you know, we've got a good narrative element, good graphics. It looks fun. Sign me up.
For me, because I'm excited for it as well. It reminds me, obviously, Star Wars Bounty Hunter is probably one of my favorite Star Wars games on PlayStation 2. Mm. And although it was like a linear game, like, in my imagination, I would like replay levels and run around and like pretend I was free roaming.
Yeah.
And I really wasn't. It was my imagination, all the work. So, you know, I suppose as an adult, you class that as being mentally unwell. But this game looks to me like how I imagined that was, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like it's going to be real now. I don't need to pretend. Like, I'll actually be able to do that without me pretending that I'm in that environment. Which I think is very, very cool.
Well, there's been so many promises of these things over the years. I mean, I even remember back to Star Wars Galaxies, the MMORPG, and, you know, that was going to be, you know, exploring these worlds and going, flying between things. And it was that to some degree, but it wasn't what I wanted. And then you got Knights of the Old Republic, which did do that. It was a lot more what I wanted, but it didn't have the sort of free roaming aspect. You got, you know, a little arena really that you were playing within. And then we've never got that GTA in Star Wars, which it sounds kind of derivative, but that's what this game is really at its core. But it's got to build on more than that. But I think from what we've seen in the trailers, I think it will. I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely. And another thing I missed out, so obviously, you know, this game comes out on August 30th, as we've said. So, you know, we've got the Bad Batch, which is ongoing now, which will finish on the 1st of May, I believe. And then on May the 3rd, we have the re-release of Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace in theatres. And then on the 4th, we have the premiere, and I think the whole series will get dropped, of the animated short series Star Wars Tales of the Empire, which is sort of a semi-sequel to the Tales of the Jedi. And then, as I said, in June, we get a June 4th, I think it is, we get Star Wars Acolyte. And then, like I said, June, July go past, that'll probably be Acolyte episodes one a week. And then, you know, we'll have probably a few weeks in August with no Star Wars. But then we'll get this game on August 30th, which is going to be a pretty big game. So I want to ask you, how excited are you? Are you ready for all of the Star Wars? And also, are you going to pre-order this game? And if you're not going to pre-order it, are you going to get it on release?
I mean, to answer your first question, I am so ready. Give it to me. Give it to me right now. We've had no new Star Wars since Ahsoka last year. So it will have been almost a full year, really, that we've had any live-action Star Wars and thing. So I'm ready for the Acolyte. I'm really looking forward to the Tales of the Empire. I loved Tales of the Jedi, so if it follows on in that same vein, then I'll be a happy bunny. The Bad Batch is something that I need to get into. I really need to get into that. I need to just get over the fact that that girl's got an annoying accent and just move on with it. What's her name?
Omega.
Yeah. So I need to get into that and more, but I think that I'm ready for this game. Will I pre-order it? Probably not. And I'll tell you why. I'll want to see at least one review first, because the last game that I pre-ordered sight unseen was AEW Fight Forever, and that, I think I've played it 3 times since I bought it. Oh, waste of money.
Wow.
That game. So I will definitely want to read something. But the thing that I saw with this game is that you can, if you do pre-order it on certain things, you get access 3 days early.
Okay.
And you can start playing the game 3 days early, which means that review copies should come out a lot earlier than that, so we should have a good idea if the game's good or bad, you know, before that. But, you know, it's not like it used to be back in the day, Peter. We don't have to queue outside Granger Games at midnight to pick up GTA 4. We can just order it on our devices now and it'll be there instantly. So I don't really see there's much need for pre-ordering anymore with an unlimited stock.
Yeah, I'm the type of guy where if it came out with like a limited edition, like if it came with a figure of the main character, or if it came with like a blaster or like some art cards or something that was, you know, a really cool bit of merchandise that comes with, only available through the pre-order, that's where I would pre-order it.
I'm not even sure.
But they're not doing that, so.
If it's getting a physical release, it might do. I'm not sure. Some big games are like not doing physical releases now. I know Alan Wake 2 didn't.
I can see that from a normal game, but I think Star Wars fans love buying things and love having it on the shelf. So
one of the last chances to do it, because I do believe that the next gen is going to have no disc drive, no optical disc drive at all. It's all going to be downloads, which I don't like from a certain perspective, because it means there's nowhere cheaper to get something. You have to buy it through the Xbox store or the PlayStation store. But it will be a bit of a sad day, that, because like as I look up here to my left, I look up and I can see all the Star Wars movies and all the Star Wars games all lined up in the DVD or Blu-ray cases next to each other, and you know I won't be able to do that.
Yeah, that'll be soon. I think it goes full circle, because I think they're looking to do that. But if you look, I don't know if you've seen lately, but like, so like, we had the Mandalorian's been released on Blu-ray Steelbook now. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi's coming soon, Andor's coming soon. Like, so all these things were available only streaming only, they're now starting to get released. So, like, I think.
And what's the appeal of, apart from the collector's aspect, what's the appeal? Are you getting something on the DVD or the Blu-rays you're not?
So there is extras.
Disney Plus?
There is extras. But I think also, I think as as subscriptions change and products change, you know, I might not want to be subscribed to Disney Plus next week. So now I can't watch Andor anymore. But if I've bought the Blu-ray.
Yeah, there's a definite like longevity to it. I've just got Disney actually not too long ago. And now rather than having to borrow, you know, other people's Disney Plus subscriptions, I can just use my own. It's like, oh, right. Okay. I mean, the big thing for me is that, as you're well aware, Peter, but the listeners to this might not be, my wife's Japanese. So I used to always have the problem with DVDs that they did not release. They did not put Japanese subtitles on Western releases, but Disney Plus puts all of the subtitles that are available for everything on everything. So we can watch Star Wars in Japanese, or rather with Japanese subtitles. Even when my wife's English is amazing, you know, sometimes when you're talking about, you know, Tatooine and Dantooine and all of this stuff, and it can blow your mind.
Certainly can.
So yeah, for me, Disney Plus, I'm very, very happy that they decided to do that. It's a huge quality of life improvement. So, but DVDs don't do that. I think because Japan's got some very peculiar laws and licensing agreement things, but it's fine for streaming.
Spot on. I've got a question for you before we wrap things up.
Go on in.
It's crossing over Star Wars and wrestling, okay?
Okay.
It's meant as a joke, so anyway, listening, don't get offended, please. I think it's a bit funny, but also cool. So, you know Greedo, right?
Yeah.
You know what type of character Greedo is? You know what type of ego he has?
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens to him?
Yes.
Is Tony Khan the Greedo of the wrestling world?
Well, I think the key difference between Greedo and Tony Khan is that Greedo gets shot in the head, whilas Tony Khan is shooting himself in the foot at the moment. But I think you might be onto something there. I think it's Greedo as a character. It's funny because Greedo is like the first kind of bad guy. Right. I mean, obviously we meet the Empire in A New Hope, but Greedo's the first sort of mini boss that's over straight away. And Han, you know, it clearly establishes because Han shoots first.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty good shout that you have there, Tony Khan being the Greedo. But I think the one thing that sets it off is that Tony Khan's got his own money. So you need to think about somebody who's just wildly splashing money around with no thought. I mean, I think maybe Jabba actually might be Tony Khan, you know, incredibly wealthy, surrounding himself with sycophants who are using him and hanging on for his money. And Greedo was indeed one of those people.
Could you say he is like Watto because he keeps wrestlers signing contracts?
Well, that's not exactly what Watto did, but yeah, but yes, I know what you mean. Yeah, he could be, but like I said before we hit the record button, I'm pulling for AEW, so I hope that Tony Khan doesn't end up like Watto in episode 2.
Yeah. All joking aside, we love professional wrestling, and we hope there's as many places to watch wrestling and work in wrestling as possible before anybody goes berserk. That sort of wraps it up for talking about Star Wars Outlaws, obviously available for pre-order now. So if you're going to pre-order it, go and pre-order it. Obviously, you get it 3 days early, as Chris just said, if you do pre-order it.
You also get Kessel Run body kits, apparently, for the Trailblazer.
Some cosmetics there. Fun times. One thing I do want to talk about, it's just, I don't know if you've seen this being announced this week or not. Obviously, someone who's, you know, worked in the, you know, work in film, and you know, certainly part of the distribution of movies. Obviously, George Lucas to be honored with a honorary Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival this year. Oh. I think very much well deserved, and I'm excited to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that George Lucas, and I think it's starting to happen a bit more, but I hope he gets a lot more flowers while he's still alive. Not that I think he's going to expire anytime soon, but I mean, George Lucas is somebody who is, I think, had a difficult relationship over the years because he you know, he came in with Star Wars, the original trilogy. Everyone loved it. The end of Return of the Jedi kind of left a bad taste in some people's mouths. And for a long time, people called Return of the Jedi the bad Star Wars movie. And then he comes back, episode one. And then it, you know, he gets derided. People aren't much bigger fans of episode two. People do like episode three. And then that's it. He's done. And I think it would be good to see people celebrating George, because he deserves it. He's a masterful filmmaker. He's not perfect, but he created a world and a cast of characters that I can't stop thinking about. From the, when I was, I think, 7 or 8 when I first saw Star Wars, all the way through to now when I'm just about to turn 37, and I think I'll be thinking about Star Wars until the day I die.
Yeah, I think for me, George is a masterful storyteller. I think you cannot tell the story of modern cinema and modern film without George Lucas. And I think, you know, what Lucasfilm do and ILM do and Skywalker Sound do, they touch everything you pretty much experience when you go to a theater, when you watch something on television. You know, it's pretty wild just how much of an impact that man has had. You know, if you just think about digital cinema, you know, I think Phantom Menace was the first movie to be filmed fully digitally, but then cinemas hadn't actually caught up, so it actually had to be put on print and go out that way. And then he did the THX initiative in between 1999 and 2002, where, you know, to get cinemas up to digital so that when Attack of the Clones come out, it could be shown digitally. So, you know, 100% a trailblazer, a pioneer. Like I said, in my opinion, one of the greatest storytellers of all time. And I always tell people, even when they don't want to hear it, but you cannot tell the story of modern film or modern cinema without George Lucas. Nope. And that brings an end to the episode. Chris, I don't know if you want to talk about your podcast and where people can find that and how awesome it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully, if you listen to this, you've heard me before on this podcast, so you'll know I'm the host of Dystopian Simulation Radio with my best friend Lindsay, where we investigate curious cases of the unexplained, the unknown, and the bizarre, from UFOs to the price of a right arm on the black market. We investigate it. We find out all sorts of things. We've recently done some episodes on Blink 182. What's that got to do with the supernatural? Well, the guitarist, Tom DeLonge, left to create his own UFO hunting corporation. Find out more about that, listening to that. We did an episode on a Frenchman who just could not stop eating throughout his life. And we've got almost literally hundreds of episodes in our back catalog, everything from UFO abductions, ghost sightings, poltergeists, to curious tales of certain individuals who have done bizarre things, like one of my favorites, John Allen Chow, a man who decided to go to an uncontacted island and try and convert the natives to Christianity. And that went about as well as you can imagine. So you can listen to all of that in our back catalog. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere that has podcasts. But you can find us there just by searching for Dystopian Simulation Radio. You can also find us on Instagram at d.s.radio.
Awesome stuff. Definitely check that out. For the announcements, obviously, the Dorky Diva herself, Savannah, it's her birthday today as we record this on the 11th of April. Obviously, be on the podcast a few times, and we all know that Star Wars would not exist without certainly my interactions with Savannah and becoming her friend. So happy birthday, Savannah. I know you're currently in New Zealand looking at all the awesome Lord of the Rings and Hobbit sets, so I hope you're enjoying that. Big news in the tune, Joe Linton has signed his new contract. He is here till 2028 at least. Big news. I'm glad Joe Linton is staying in Newcastle. And then, speaking of Geordies, myself, the Geordie Jedi Pete, is going to New York at the end of May. So if anybody's got any awesome nerd hangouts, places that can buy Star Wars merchandise, new and vintage, 90s stuff, proper vintage stuff, modern stuff, comics, anything like that, just hit me up on social media, please, because I can't wait to check out all the awesome Star Wars that New York has to offer. The wife doesn't know that yet, but we will just deal with that when we get there.
I think she will have presumed, Peter.
probably how I would imagine, yes. But yes, listeners, thank you very much for listening. Chris, thank you very much for joining me and being a huge part of Star Wars today. If you want to follow the podcast on social media, we are on X, formerly known as Twitter, @BoazStar. We are also on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and LinkedIn @StarWarsPodcast. You can find myself on social media @JordyJediPete. That is on Instagram, and that is also on X, formerly known as Twitter. If you are listening on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, please just leave us a top review. It makes us smile all day here. It only takes you a few moments, and it helps people find the show. And if you are listening on any of the other wild and wonderful podcast applications, again, just leave us a top review on however you do it on those platforms. Again, makes us very happy, takes you a few moments, and also helps people find the show. Thank you very much for listening. May the Force be with you all. And remember, always tell that to Kanja Club.
The Dorky Diva Show presents...
Why is this seat so much more comfortable?
The long-awaited sequel to the adventures of the Zolandart audio drama.
Have you seen the captain's datapad?
Trying to work, Murph.
Piloting the Zolandart by himself...
You do understand the details of this particular job, correct?
I've been on plenty of jobs like this. With you!
Reldar Saias returns to a planet he thought he'd left behind for good.
Is there a reason you didn't mention I was tagging along?
Hopefully having you there will make others think twice about messing with me.
Making new friends.
Oh, you must be the pilot of the Zolandart, yes?
I guess I am.
And reconnecting with old ones.
Reldar?
Vera?
What are you doing here?
Until past grudges resurface.
I'd be minding my own business if I were you.
Well, if your business wasn't being handled right in front of my face, maybe I could mind my own business. We have to leave. Now.
Why the rush all of a sudden?
We're in trouble.
If it isn't little Reldar Saias.
Hey, Yorick. Long time no see.
Roz already knows you're here.
Oh.
Look who decided to come home.
Reldar must confront his origin.
I must admit, I never saw this as being a part of your past, Softshell.
Or let it define his future.
I will get what is owed to me, no matter the cost.
Because what Roz is trying to do is wrong.
Says you.
My blasters. We're going to need these. Take that, Slimo.
The Adventures of the Zolandart, Episode 2, coming soon.